Thank you, Pastor. That is so encouraging because it just reminds us how much God desires to make something happen in each one of our lives. And sometimes we don't even quite recognize that. So I'm going to change the topic just a little bit. But it's part of the whole, it's all part of the package. Today I want to share something that was kind of a new understanding to me about how God's love works in our lives to bring about wellness to our bodies. It's something I definitely haven't understood before. If you have, my hope is that maybe I'll ignite an excitement in you again regarding it. But it's in the area of how health connects with the spiritual dimensions of our being. And to me, it's quite exciting, kind of amazing to me. And my family knows me. When I get excited about something, sometimes I don't stop talking about it. I'll go to one person and tell them and another person. I guess today I'm going to share it with you. I'd like to give credit to Dr. Mark Sandoval, who wrote a book called The Law of Life that introduced me to the principles that I'm going to share with you. Dr. Sandoval has worked in lifestyle medicine, and he's dedicated his professional life to scientifically researching the brain. There's a lot of solid information in his book that I won't be touching on this morning, but I've asked God to help us focus on the issues that point to God's promises. I'll begin with a quick review of the laws of health. I think everybody here probably has learned the 8 laws of health over time that God has given to us, to his people. They are fresh air, water, nutrition, rest, exercise, self-control, sunshine, and trust in God. So we all know that if these principles are applied consistently in our lives, they were made to help us to support a healthy balance in all the dimensions of our being, both physical, social, emotional, and spiritual. So what I want you to think about today and notice is that each one of these laws of health requires a raw material of some sort from outside of our bodies to work in generating health. Kind of like our car needs gasoline to run. For example, fresh air is the oxygen that we need to live. Water has the hydrogen and the oxygen that is needed for our body. And food has all the variety of nutrients that we need. Sunshine gives us heat. And finally, trust in God speaks to the love that we need for our bodies to live and survive in all the dimensions that we have. All of these together produce optimum health. So I'm going to take you down this trajectory, and I'm hoping you'll understand. I'm trying to keep it simple because I'm not a doctor, but I've had Reuben help me to try and break it down simply. So when we think about these raw materials from the outside that need to come into our bodies, they come into our cells. The cells in our body are like the tiny factories that work to make up our body and provide what is needed on a chemical level. So does that make sense so far? Hopefully you're understanding this. These raw materials are chemicals that enter our body through our breathing, through our eating, our drinking, through our skin, sometimes even our eyes and ears. From these portals of entry, they go into the bloodstream and get into the cells. Well, how does all this transfer happen? Well, cells function through the use of electricity. Electricity is the energy needed from outside of our bodies to make it all work. So where do the cells get the electrical stimulation to do their individual work? Every cell and organ that functions in our body is regulated by and through the central nervous system, which helps to keep the amazing balance of all parts of our bodies. It vitalizes the entire system, and it helps it to resist disease. What oversees the entire central nervous system that connects to the whole body? Everybody can guess, right? The brain. The brain is the organ that generates electrical energy by mental activity. And this is what was new to me. This organ generates electricity by mental activity, which means thinking, which is the intellectual part of our being that has been given to all of us as humans and angels, and it is called the spirit of man. So, this electrical activity originates in the cortex of the brain. So this is what I want you to get. How is the electrical energy generated? It is introduced by thoughts into the mind that result in electrical activity causing chemicals to react and change locations. This electrical energy generated by thought is then transmitted through impulses to the different parts of our body. And that just is so amazing to me, that a thought can cause electricity. And that's what brings the happening in all of our body. There's a quote in Special Testimonies on Education, page 33, that says, "The mind controls the whole man. Yet many spend all their lives without becoming intelligent to the casket, to this body that contains this treasure. All the physical organs are servants of the mind, and the nerves are the messengers that transmit orders to every part of the body, guiding the motions of this living machinery." When I read that quote, I felt like it applied to me, because I really haven't spent, I've done a lot of studying on different things, but I've never really focused on the brain a whole lot. And now I'm just finding it so amazing. Science claims that it is the electrical activity, which is physical, that produces the mental activity of thinking, which relates to the spiritual dimension of our being. But we learn in the Bible that God, who is spirit, created all of this. John 4:24 says, "God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." It is our thoughts, good or bad, that are creating electrical impulses or currents, which are conducted down the nerves to each cell of our body so that they can continue to function optimally. But those same pathways may also carry electrical impulses that promote disease. There's a favorite quote of mine that I know my family knows, and I think many of you do. I think you'll recognize it. It's been part of my prayers very often, because it often has spoken to me very deeply about how God is working in me. And it's the quote that says, "Lord, take my heart, for I cannot give it. It is thy property. Keep it pure, for I cannot keep it for thee. Save me in spite of myself, my weak, unchristlike self. Mold me, fashion me, raise me into a pure and holy atmosphere where the rich currents of thy love can flow through my soul." That's from Christ's Object Lessons 159. When I read this explanation of the physiology of how thoughts create electricity to power the body, this quote immediately came to my mind. It was like a clear window to me of how God is working to change me. A confirmation for me personally why that quote has been such a blessing to me. There was just something about the rich currents of his love that just spoke to me. Well, now I want to focus for a little bit on the need for love. You know, like all the other needs we have for water, oxygen, well, you know, love is one of the needs of our bodies. Remember, it's the right kind of raw material that comes in through our thoughts to create the energy that is needed for us to function. Does each cell of our body need love? Not exactly. What each cell of our body does need is the effects of the right kind of love. The part of your body that needs love is your spirit. It is your spirit that receives love, the spiritual information that comes. It's the intellectual part of our being. It will produce the thoughts that are needed to provide the energy and coordination necessary for cells to function in optimal health and vitality. If the spirit is not receiving love, then the reverse will happen. It'll still work, but dysfunction and disease happens. For example, if a person has had abuse or trauma in their life, this would be the wrong kind of love. And that's a really vital point to understand, that the lack of true love in one's life is another cause of disease and dysfunction. That's really something to think about. So what I want to do now is to look at how it is that we are able to take in genuine, unconditional love into our bodies. So again, I'm just going to repeat this. Remember that thoughts create the energy that produces electricity. Love enters into our bodies through our thoughts, which is affected by our senses, what we see, what we hear, what we feel. And of course, we want to receive the best kind of love. How do we do that? I'm pretty sure this is something you guys already know. I just feel like we don't always think of it this way. There's 10 points that I want to share with you about this, about how we take in God's love, and then I'll come back to the first principle. So the first principle is simply, we take of God's love to give to others. And that is the foundational principle of everything. I think we're all starting to get that God's love is the bottom line, and everything kind of comes from there. So what we need to really learn to recognize is that God is our only source of true unconditional love. No one else. There isn't a human alive that can give us true love unless they too are receiving that true love from God. And even then, it's still not perfect. The people that God puts in our lives are simply there for us to give an opportunity to give away the love that we receive from God. Life would be so much easier if we could realize that we can't always expect perfect love from each other. It's only from God. Now, there's a lot more I could say about that, but I don't want to overgo my time. So I'll leave it at that for now, leave that for you to think about. So when we talk about taking love from God to give to others, what are the main ways we do that? And you guys know these. There's 4 points. We must spend time in communion with God in prayer. We must read and study his word. We must contemplate the life of Jesus. And 4, we must trust in his promises. So I'm going to come back to this point number 1, and I'm going to, at the end, I'm going to go ahead and quickly say the other 9 principles that follow underneath taking from God's love to give to others. Then number 2 is to accept the new heart that God wants to give us. Number 3 is to accept the divine exchange at the cross of Jesus' perfect past in exchange for our sinful one. Experiencing the brokenness and transformation of the amazing love of God and being set free. Number 4 is to surrender entirely to him. 5, to search our hearts to understand the motivations of self. 6, to choose to think positively about ourselves and others. 7, to love others because of the fact that we have been privileged to receive the love of God. Number 8 is to remember, nothing is mine. I don't possess it. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. It is all God's. So when I have a problem and I often want to blame somebody else for it, I simply realize I must wait on God to take care of everything. And that's a hard one. Number nine, we learn to use God's eight natural loves, God's eight natural laws, because we love him. And finally, 10, when we fall, we get up, back up again and again, because we know that God is always ready to receive us. So now I just want to go back to the foundational principle of taking of God's love to give to others. Like I said, we take in of God's love through communion with him in prayer, by study of his word, by meditating on the life of Christ, and on trusting in his promises. Dr. Sandoval says that he has recognized that trusting in God's promises is as important as all of them are, that trusting in God's promises is the primary way we can receive God's love. Because we all need acceptance, we all need security, we all need understanding, we all need solutions to our problems, we need joy, we need peace, we need hope. Whatever we need, if we look in the Bible, there is a promise for that need. And it is there for us to claim, and it is there for him to fulfill for us because he loves us. And when we see that promise, like today, we've been singing all these songs about his promises. You know, that song that Valerie sang was just perfect. You know, the promises that he gives us, when we read those promises, we've been doing that all morning, which is amazing. So there's a quote that says, "When the promises of God are freely and fully accepted, heaven's brightness is brought into the life." That's from A Call to Medical Evangelism and Health Education, page 26. So you and I are primarily taking of God's love by becoming familiar with his promises, by reciting them, using them in times of need, allowing them to be the themes of our thoughts. And why do we want them to be the themes of our thoughts? We want to create healthy impulses to flow through our body, and we want to learn to believe them. Psalms 39 tells us, "For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." If we haven't experienced it by now, his words are power to give life. They're power to change us. God is spirit, and he speaks to our spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 tells us, "God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." And John 8:32 tells us, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free from all the stuff that we go through." His promises speak his truth to the specific issues to our life. Remember that focusing on these promises, we are providing the love of God as a thought to our minds to produce the right kind of electrical impulses that our body needs for vibrant health, for our spirit, mind, and body. So when we take the law of trust in God from that eight laws of health as our main focus, then you can only imagine that all the other natural laws of health begin to fall into place. As we immerse our minds with the promises of the love of God, our lives will be transformed. If they haven't been, we probably haven't been focusing on his promises enough. But I believe that we will experience the reality of the quote that I shared at the beginning, where it says, "Lord, mold me, fashion me, raise me into a pure and holy atmosphere where the rich current of thy love can flow through my soul." And that's what's happening, and I think that's amazing. That's how he changes us. I just heard, I was driving home, I think it was Wednesday night or Tuesday night, on the radio, about an initiative, I don't know if you guys have heard about it, that was started in 2013 with 4,000 people in the UK. It was called Dry January. Have you guys heard of that? Dry January. And it says that that initiative has grown into a global phenomenon with hundreds of thousands of people participating annually. Just last year, there were 200,000 people participating in that initiative. And simply what it was an initiative where people were encouraged to take 1 month, the month of January, as a break from alcohol. A month-long feat to be sober. And you know, it's just interesting, because many of those people that started that 1 month willing to take a break noticed such a benefit health-wise and in their productivity that many of them decided to never drink again. That's pretty powerful. Just by 1 month that they took, they could see a difference. So today, as we focus on God's promises, as we pray and fast during the 2 weeks that we're aiming to do, we will be encouraged to make God's promises a moment-by-moment experience that will accomplish two objectives for us. One, our health will be greatly improved. Number two, we will be changed. We will be transformed into God's image, and we will be prepared to meet Jesus face to face. Wouldn't it be amazing if we would take our prayer and fasting time as seriously as those folks that have been participating in Dry January? We would experience the difference that can happen in our lives. And so my prayer is that this would be our goal for this 2 weeks of fasting and prayer that we want to do. And I pray that as we take it seriously, as a result, our lives, just like those that gave up their alcohol, our lives will be never be the same, only with a higher principle. Thank you.